This is now the third sermon in this series of sermons called Seeking Sanctification. And the approach we are taking is to recognize that whatever it is that human beings set out to do, there has to be a reason. And the better the reason, the more the thing is likely to be done. Well, by the time we're finished, we will have not one reason, but seven reasons for us to be seeking sanctification in our lives, in our Christian lives. And the third of the seven is love. Surely you knew it had to come to this, right? Love, it would seem to me, is the greatest of all motivators to act, the highest of all reasons to live in a certain way. So why do Christians forego the pleasures of sin? Why do Christians swim upstream and pursue the path of greatest resistance rather than the path of least resistance? There are a number of possible reasons, including faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Think about it in everyday terms. What is the motivation that is most likely to make a person give in and do what somebody else wants to do rather than what they want to do? Is it not love? What is the thing that is most likely to bring a person to make significant sacrifice in their life, possibly even laying down their life for the sake of another? Is it not love? Whether it's the love of a husband for his wife or a wife for her husband, whether it's the love of a mother for her child or of a friend for another friend, why do we do what we do? It's because of love. And this morning we need to hear the call to love our Lord Jesus Christ, to love Him in response to His love for us in going to the cross for us. We've talked about this before, that the same call that Jesus gave in the days that He was on earth in the flesh is the call that He sounds forth yet today, the call to follow Me. Follow Me, Jesus said, first to James and John, next to Peter and Andrew, and again we hear it as Jesus called Matthew. The tax collector, follow Me, said Jesus, and the relationship to Him into which Jesus was calling them, into which Jesus called each of His disciples, was, well, just that, the discipleship relationship. And as we see these men in the Gospels answering the call of Jesus and entering into that discipleship relationship, so we see the relationship into which Jesus calls us yet today. That's the thing about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. On one hand, we don't want to elevate one part of Scripture above the other parts, and yet we just can't escape this, that the Gospels give us the opportunity not only to learn who Jesus is, but to learn about the relationship that He would have with us yet today. And one of the key aspects of that relationship, indeed the discipleship relationship, one key aspect of this relationship is love for Christ. Brothers and sisters, here is a third reason for us to live for Christ. Here is the third reason to seek sanctification in our lives. Here is the reason for us even to take up our cross daily and to follow Jesus, because we love Him. The first point this morning is the question of love. This is a topical series as opposed to an expository series. An expository series is like what we're doing with Genesis, now taking a break from that, but preaching passage by passage through a book of the Bible. A topical series is one where the preacher decides to preach on a certain topic and then decides what text to use to preach. Now, there is a danger in this, I'll admit it. The danger is that the preacher decides something ahead of time and then goes looking for a text to back up his idea. But what if the idea he has is wrong? Then he's looking to support something that's wrong from Scripture. But I hope that you can see that that's not what is happening here. The idea, the lesson that I have decided to preach on in this sermon in particular is love for Christ. And surely we can recognize the legitimacy of this doctrine that we are indeed called to love Christ. But do we? Do you love Christ, the Savior whom you confess as your Savior? That's the question. And it's the question for you and me because it was the question that Jesus asked of Peter in John 21. Just as the call of Christ is the same between Peter and us, and just as the relationship to Christ is the same between Peter and us, so this question is the same. Do you love me? Three times, in fact, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? What's interesting is that in the passage that records the calling of Peter and along with Andrew and then James and John, we see in that same passage much of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. The passage is Matthew 4, verses 18 to 25. And there we hear the record of the day when Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and coming first upon Peter and Andrew, his brother, he called them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, he said. Peter and Andrew were fishermen by trade, as were James and John, another set of brothers. Follow me, said Jesus to each of them. And Matthew records that immediately Peter and Andrew left their nets behind and followed Jesus. Then when Jesus called James and John, we hear it again, that they left their boat and their father who was with them and followed Jesus. And so we see in this the dependence upon Jesus of the discipleship relationship. From that day forward, they would depend upon Jesus for their lives, trusting him to feed them, to care for them, to provide for them, to protect them. And so it was a relationship of faith and trust in full dependence upon Jesus. But in the same passage, we also hear of a second aspect of the discipleship relationship. The first aspect is dependence upon Jesus, but the second is the call to be students of Jesus. What did Jesus mean when he said, I will make you fishers of men? Would he force them? He would make them? He would force them to be fishers of men? No. Would he just give them a badge to wear that said, official fisher of men? No. Jesus was calling them into a relationship of learning, a relationship in which he would be the teacher and they would be his students. And this is actually the most literal meaning of the word disciple. A disciple is a student. The two words are basically synonyms, disciple and student. So Jesus was calling them to follow him in order that they would hear every word that he would teach throughout his ministry. And so it makes sense that Matthew 4 leads into Matthew 5, which begins with these words, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, his students came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. And in the very same passage, we hear of another aspect of the discipleship relationship. It's a little less explicit, but Matthew 4, verse 23 says, And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. And then verse 24 adds, so his fame spread throughout the whole region. To be a disciple of Jesus is to spread his fame. Just as the fame of Jesus spread in the days that he was on the earth in the flesh, so the disciples were called to preach the gospel and to spread the fame of Jesus throughout all the world. But there's a fourth aspect to the discipleship relationship that really isn't made clear in Matthew 4. And that's the love that the disciples grew to have for Jesus. When Jesus first called his disciples, they surely didn't follow him out of love, at least not much love for him. After all, they didn't know him that well. They knew of him, but they didn't know him as they came to know him over time. So why did they follow him at first? Surely for other reasons. They saw that he was a great teacher, doing great miracles. And so it was a great honor to be called. It was like Abraham. Some people want to exalt Abraham because he believed and obeyed when God called him to leave his country and travel to another land. But is that really to Abraham's great credit? When God shows up, however he did appear to Abraham, we aren't told at the first. But when God appears to you and says, I am going to bless you beyond your wildest dream, you go. You leave your lesser life behind and you do what God calls you to do. And so with the disciples, here was the great teacher recently come upon the scene. Here was the great worker of miracles that everyone was talking about. And lo and behold, he was calling them to follow him. He was calling them, common fishermen, to be his disciples. So why did they do it? Why did they follow him at first? Because of the great honor bestowed on them simply in being chosen and called by him. And so it might be for you. You're a Christian. I'm not doubting that. I'm not wanting you necessarily to doubt that you're a Christian, a disciple of Christ. But do you love Christ? If you are a Christian, then it's really not me who is asking you the question. It's Jesus himself. Do you love me? If it takes you any time to answer the question, if it strikes conviction in your heart, then it doesn't mean you aren't a Christian. It just means that it's time. Maybe you've been a Christian for some time now. Maybe you're in your 30s or 40s or older still. And maybe it's time to hear Jesus asking the question, do you love me? You depend upon Christ for your salvation. You come to church each week to sit as a student under his word. You are living a life that gives witness to Christ and to his resurrection. But do you love him? That's the question Jesus himself is asking you this morning. Do you love me? And what was Peter's reaction to the question of Jesus? As we've said, each time Jesus asked the question, Peter answered, yes, Lord, I do love you. But by the third time, the text records that Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? So here's the second point, the grief of conviction. As we see that Peter finally figured it out. He had no problem having Jesus ask the question the first time. It might have seemed a little strange for Jesus to ask the second time. But by the third time, Peter realized what Jesus was doing. Jesus was asking Peter, "Do you love me?" one time for each time, each of the three times that Peter had denied him. On the night of Jesus' arrest and trial, Peter had been confronted three times with being a follower of Jesus, and each time he said, no, I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. I am not with him. And the point is not to say that it was only now that Peter felt the grief of conviction. because the gospel story makes it clear that even upon the third time, the rooster crowed. Do you remember? In his divine foreknowledge, Jesus had told Peter that he would deny him three times and that he would do so yet that night, even before the rooster crows. So upon the crowing of the rooster, Matthew records that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He had done what he had promised not to do. He had done what he boasted he would not do. He had said to Jesus, even if all the others fall away, I will not. But he did. He denied Jesus not once, but three times. And Luke even tells us that Jesus made eye contact with Peter at that moment on that third time, so that Peter was struck with conviction in that moment even. So it makes sense that now, as Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And then again, do you love me? And then a third time, do you love me? It makes sense that Peter was grieved. And that is why he answered as he did the third time, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. It was like saying, Lord, you knew I would deny you three times. You knew exactly when I had... You knew exactly when I had actually done so. Lord, you know everything. Even now you can see into my heart. And so you know that I love you. And what does Jesus know as he looks into each of our hearts? We come to church each week. We confess him as our Savior and Lord. But do we love him? If we love him, he would have us to follow him not only in dependence, in the dependence of faith, but in the effort to obey his law. And if we love him, then surely we too will be grieved by the sin of our lives. Maybe we too have rather openly denied Jesus. But even if we haven't done so explicitly, yet every sin in our lives is a denial of Jesus in some way. We call him our Savior, believing and confessing that he died on the cross for our sins, and yet we continue to sin, sometimes quite carelessly, without even seeming to care. We must grieve for that. We call him our Lord, believing that it's by his authority that he saves us, and yet we turn back to obeying the flesh and doing those things that do not honor him, things that even dishonor him. And are we not grieved by this conviction for our sin? So we must go on to hear the further call of Jesus, the call to devotion. Next point, the call to devotion. Three times Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Three times Peter answered, yes, Lord, I love you. And three times Jesus then said to Peter, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus was calling Peter to devotion. In other words, here's how Peter would love Jesus, by serving Jesus, and serving Jesus by serving the church, the sheep of Jesus. Peter himself was one of Jesus' sheep, but he was being called now to be, as we say, an under shepherd of Jesus, to love and serve Christ by loving and serving the church. Peter, of course, as an apostle, was being called to an obedience that not every Christian is called to. And yet every Christian is called to obedience, and not to a begrudging obedience, and not to a traditional obedience, and not to a customary obedience, not to an, oh, well, I guess I have to obedience, but the obedience of love, even to being devoted to doing his will and obeying his commands. And Jesus made it clear that he had not come to set aside one law and to preach and teach another law. His law is the law of God. We read it from Deuteronomy chapter 5. He himself is God in our own flesh. Yes, he is, or yes, by his incarnation, he stepped into our place to live our life for us, to suffer our hell for us, to die in our place. But he did so even as God in our own flesh. And now that he has risen from the dead, and he has risen from the dead, now that he has ascended on high, now that he has poured out his Spirit upon his people, he calls us to be his disciples, which means to trust him for salvation and also to live for him in obedience to his law. Jesus makes this abundantly clear earlier in John's Gospel. In John 14, verse 15, we hear this teaching from Jesus: "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then again in John 15, verse 12 and following, we hear this from Jesus: "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." So by speaking of his disciples as friends, Jesus was speaking of the love that they shared. Jesus loved his disciples. And by this time, the disciples had come to love Jesus deeply. And so Jesus refers to them as friends because of the love they shared for each other. But he said this: "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Try that on one of your friends. Say to them, "We're friends, right? Yeah. Good, because I've decided that if we're friends, you have to do what I command you to do." How well would that go over in the friendships we enjoy with each other? So yes, Jesus is your friend, but he is also your Lord. And he should be the Lord that we love, because he loved us and even laid down his life for us. And if he is the Lord whom we love, then we can show our love for him by being devoted to him and living in obedience to his law. And Jesus even gives Peter another prophecy now. Earlier, he had told Peter, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And that prophecy had come true. And now another prophecy in verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "When you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." And John explains in verse 19, this was to show by what kind of death Peter was to glorify God. In other words, Jesus was calling Peter to a devotion that would even cost him his life. Jesus was calling Peter to an obedience that would even bring about his death. And again, we are called to the same devotion, to the same obedience. We don't know whether our very life may be asked of us, but all disciples of Christ are called to take up their cross and to follow him. And why would anybody ever do that? Because they love him. And so we come to this last point, to the renewed call to love, sorry, the renewed call to follow Christ. We've seen now that as Jesus began his ministry, he called Peter to follow him. We've seen that Peter answered that call and followed Jesus, becoming his disciple. We've seen that Peter denied Jesus three times and so was restored by Jesus by asking him three times, "Do you love me?" With Peter answering each time, "Yes, Lord, I love you." But it all ends now with Jesus renewing his call to Peter. The end of verse 19, "Follow me." After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." And it leaves us to ask ourselves whether we too are following Christ. To be a Christian is to be a disciple of Christ, but not just taking on these titles, "I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple of Christ." If we would be a Christian, if we would be a disciple of Christ, we must ask, what does that mean? What is this relationship that Jesus has called me to be in with him? And we must answer that question. We must learn the discipleship relationship by watching Jesus and his disciples in the Gospels. First, it means to depend on Jesus. That's what faith is, depending on Jesus for every blessing, not least of which our salvation from sin, relying on him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, trusting that it's his work that saves us and not our own obedience. Next, it means to be a student of Jesus, even a lifelong student of Jesus. Sorry, but there's no graduation day for disciples of Jesus, at least not on this side of heaven. But neither should we want to graduate and no longer be students of Jesus, because the more we know, the more we can live to honor him as our Savior. And this too is what it means to be his disciple, to honor him, to proclaim him and his name, and to spread his fame in this world. But here then has been our focus and our emphasis in this message, that to be a disciple of Christ, we are called to love Christ. Why? Because we see the disciples loving Christ even as Christ loved them. And how can we not? How can we not love Christ when he has so loved us even to the cross? Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for you and for me, for each one and for all of his disciples. So how can we not love him? So brothers and sisters, hear the call of Christ to follow him and answer it again. In the beginning, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." And in the end, it's the same call, the renewed call to Peter, "Follow me." And it's the same call for us to hear today. We are called to follow Christ. We are called to be his disciples. And as we answer and follow him, let us love him. Let us love to search him out in the Word of God. Let us love to spend time with him in prayer. Let us speak to him as a friend speaks to a friend. And let us love him by living for him, seeking to live in obedience to him. Let us grieve our sin and seek sanctification for his sake, exactly because we have salvation in him, exactly because we love him for going to the cross for us. Amen. Let's pray together. Indeed, O God, our Father in heaven, through Christ, by your Spirit, you have given us every reason, really, to seek sanctification, to turn from sin, to be grieved for sin, to repent of it, to turn from it, and to pray against it, and to strive against sin in our lives. You have given us every reason, simply in this one reason, that we are called to love Christ. So may we meditate upon his great love for us, that we would be moved by your Spirit to love him back, to answer his love with our love for him. Lord Jesus, we do love you, and we pray that we might express that love as we follow you and as we seek sanctification. In your name we pray. Amen.